Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3, Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Good afternoon. I'm Stan Yanchus, sitting in for Don Nolan, who was going to be sitting in for our regular host, Steve Shoemaker. And our guests today are Carl Birkebeil, director of the Caring for Kenya program here in Champaign. And Carl is also the Healing Hands International Director of Agriculture. And we also have with us local community leader Lynn Warfel, who is a strong supporter of the Caring for Kenya program. Listeners are welcome to join in our conversation. Locally, you can call 217-333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Or if it's a long-distance call, use 1-800-222-9455. That was 1-800-222-9455. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you here. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Stan.
Well, you know, Kenya is probably in the news, Carl, more than most African nation with President Obama's ancestry and the Queen Elizabeth recently announcing that she was in Kenya when she did find out she was about to become queen, and the animal preserves, which are renowned, known worldwide. But for our listeners who might not be familiar with Kenya, could you tell us a little bit about Kenya today?
Well, there's a lot of different climates. Any kind of climate you want to find, you can find in Kenya. In eastern Kenya, where I go, it's a mountainous area that has a rainy season and a dry season. People are very poor, but they're very friendly, very welcoming. I've been there enough times now that I feel like I have a second family in Kenya.
And there have been some problems with the climate. Aren't they going through some issues right now?
Well, you probably heard about the famine in the Horn of Africa, which included Kenya and Kenya-Somalia border. And so actually, when I say there's a rainy season, sometimes it doesn't rain in the rainy season. From 2006 to 2009, there were 3 years where it didn't rain at all. And so one of the things that we're doing on this trip to Kenya is we have a container of prepackaged meals that we're taking, or they're being shipped, and they'll be there when we get there. And then, you know, the saying, if you give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. So one of the things we focus on is teaching them how to farm, how to raise more food.
And we're going to get more into the specifics of the Caring for Kenya program in of itself. But there's a great need, as I think most people know, in Africa in general, and certainly in Kenya for quite a few things. And that kind of brings us to your program. Could you provide our listeners with some information about a short overview of Caring for Kenya, especially, you know, about their special relationship that started this program?
Well, it's kind of maybe unique in that it started because the Kenyan Air Force sent a young man, Erastus Kavuti, to the U.S. for training. And when he got to Lackland Air Force Base, he was invited to a Bible study by a man from Kuwait, taught by a man from Mexico in the United States, and he became a Christian. And then I was in Rantoul at Chanute Air Force Base, and so he worshipped with us for about 9 months, and then went back with the idea of being basically a native missionary and helping his village and his family and his friends. And so Caring for Kenya is an American support group that started to help him do that.
So your relationship with him flourished, and then I'm sure I know you're affiliated with a local church on Philo Road. That would be
right, Philo Road Church of Christ.
Philo Road Church of Christ. And how long has the program been going on, and what's occurred in that time period?
Well, I've known Erastus for over 20 years, and we have been involved working in Kenya for over 15 years. And so what we say is we meet physical needs and thereby create opportunities to meet spiritual needs. So we are involved with agriculture, with water, with health care, with education, and with community development.
And what are some of the specific actions that you guys take to help with those various areas?
Well, I'll start with the water. 80% of Kenya's 40 million people do not have access to clean, quality drinking water. And they say right now that every 8 seconds somewhere in the world a child mm-hmm. dies because of contaminated water. So obviously anything we can do to help provide clean water is really important. So we're taking, on this trip to Kenya, we're taking 100 water filters. We buy these water filters for $50, and they'll remove 99.9% of the bacteria from the water and the parasites. And they will filter 1 million gallons of water before they wear out. So it just doesn't seem possible, but we've already taken 145 of those filters to Kenya. We've drilled 2 deep wells that have water for 10,000 people on this trip. We have another well that we've drilled that doesn't have the pump set up yet, mm-hmm. so we hope to be setting that pump up and drilling a fourth well while we're there. In the education aspect, we've got 85 secondary school students in Kenya, and their education then is sponsored by an American family. So a day student is $150 a year. A boarding school student is $500 a year. So we know how important education can be in terms of changing a life, impacting a life. The health care, we've got a mobile medical clinic, a man who's ridden his motorcycle to various places to treat patients, over 5,500 patients in the last 7 years. And then we have a small stationary clinic, and we provide medicine for them. The community development work, we have a man we trained in community development, and what he does is starts people in the rabbit business and chicken business and milk goats, things like that, starts co-ops. We've got soap-making co-ops. We've got sewing co-ops. And our slogan there is helping people help themselves. So, for example, if you say, I want to raise rabbits, they join the rabbit-keeping group. They build their own rabbit cage, so they've learned how to raise rabbits. They've got a rabbit cage. Then we provide a bred rabbit to get them started in the rabbit business.
Well, this sounds like it's a tremendously comprehensive program entering into just so many areas of the people's lives. And with self-sufficiency as a real strong principle, you did mention that the And say his name again for me, please.
Erastus Kabudi.
Erastus Kabudi, that he did go back with as an evangelist. And so how is that going? I know that there's some also a church aspect of what's going on.
It really is an example of like Isaiah when he said, "Here, my Lord, send me." He went back as a Christian, and now there are 10 congregations that started with him going back to Kenya, and over 300 Christians in that Kitui district of eastern Kenya.
And again, fulfilling a great need, certainly fulfilling that message of feeding the hungry and housing and clothing the poor.
We say first the bread and then the bread of life.
And then the bread of life. Let me go back, Otu. You mentioned several times, and our listeners might be wanting to know about what trip you're referring to. So I know you've got an upcoming trip that you call Caring for Kenya, that I guess would be 2012. Tell us a little bit about that trip.
Yes, this will be my 8th trip to Kenya. And as I mentioned about the water, we'll be taking more water filters and getting the pump on the well that we've already drilled and hopefully drilling another well. We have a geologist that's going with us, Dean Eichberg, and he will be spotting wells for the future, identifying places that would make good wells, and hopefully be helping to finish that existing well. We'll be teaching... we call it food security, and what we do there is we teach people how to raise more food in the dry season and how to preserve the excess in the rainy season, thereby stabilizing their food supply. So this is the dry season with this trip, and we'll do workshops. We teach them composting. We teach them how to do raised planting beds with a compost trench in the middle, and then put drip irrigation lines on them, and then mulch the bed. After they've planted the transplants. With 10 gallons of water and a $15 drip kit, They can raise enough vegetables in the dry season to feed a family of five. So, you know, in some cases where they're walking as far as 12 miles with their water, anything we can do to maximize the effect of what little water they have is great. We'll be taking medical supplies with us for those medical clinics. We'll be visiting schools where we have sponsored students and taking them some basic personal hygiene and school supplies. We will be visiting congregations. We'll be visiting those community development projects that are ongoing. And one of the things we always do when we go is just our presence is an encouragement to them. So we spend time talking with and encouraging people, doing Bible studies, and listening, asking questions, how can we help?
Well, let's spend some time on the trip. But first, you mentioned the spending time was such an important part. And I remember reading that you have a Kenyan name, and it had a distinct meaning. What was that?
They said that I needed a Kenyan name, so my Kenyan name is Matua, and that means come to stay. So they want me to come to stay.
So they're really encouraging to be back there. You mentioned Dean, and I didn't catch his last name, but geologist, water specialist that was going to be helping with some of the water work. Who are some other people locally, not necessarily by name, but what kind of people do you have locally who are involved with the program?
Well, Steve and Kathy Clarkson. Steve is a deputy fire chief in Champaign. I've made several trips to Kenya. Janetta Wilde, who's now moved to Bloomington, has made several trips and will be going on this trip. Angie Zahn has also been with us to Kenya. We have probably those 85 families that sponsor a student, probably at least 35 of those are in the Champaign-Urbana area, but we actually have people from 23 different states that sponsor a student's education, including one man who's an atheist who says, I don't believe in God, but I believe in education, and I'll help somebody get an education.
So it is possible for people, they don't necessarily need to be a member of the Church of on
right.
Philo Road. Let me give some of that information now, and I'll certainly repeat it a few times over the course of the show here for people who'd like to get some more information. One, you have a fantastic website I took a look at www.caringforkenya.org. And if people would like to get a hold of you, you have a mailing address at 3508 East University Avenue in Urbana, 61802. And your office phone there is 217-365-0215. And again, for those of you who might be taking a note, it's Carl with a C and Burkebil, and that is Burkebile. How many people are going to be going on the trip this time?
There will be seven of us on this trip.
And is that more or less is similar to the other seven trips or eight trips you've taken?
We've taken all the way from 2 to 10.
2 to 10?
So.
And is there anything that's going to be special about this trip, something different that you're really looking forward to, in addition to the massive amount of work that you're already doing?
Well, I'm really hoping and praying that the two wells, the one that we want to finish and the one that we want to drill, that we can get those in place. One of the reasons, additional reason they are important is we have 16.5 acres that we've purchased there as a site to build a secondary school. And so in order to build that school, the first step is to get water. And so this well that we're drilling is right across the road from that school property. So if we can get water, then we can proceed with building a school. And we want that school not only to be a place that students will learn the basics and learn about God and Jesus, but also they'll learn vocational skills. There's a high number of unemployed people in Kenya, and so this would be somewhat unique if we're teaching things like a lot of the schools teach agriculture and teach tailoring, but very few teach things like welding and carpentry and motorcycle mechanics and well drilling and things like that that we hope to include in our school.
Well, that's a tremendous amount of work. And again, I'm going to share with our audience a little bit. You have a list here about Caring for Kenya that if people, that you are a 501c3 organization and all donations are tax deductible. And just to give people an idea, a bag of beans can be purchased for $70 to provide a drip irrigation kit for family to produce vegetables, $15. Purchase 10 baby chicks and starter feed, $10. And, you know, these amounts, as you start to look down here, education, for example, to provide a combination school and personal hygiene packet for a student, $10. To help build a school, to buy bricks and a bag of cement. Again, continuing with the self-sufficiency theme and that you're doing so much with your work, is $15. Medical care, which I know that I had read something else. Actually, I'm a member of St. Patrick's Parish in Urbana, and one of our parishioners' daughter and former parishioner herself, Dr. Susan Negley, with the Ministry of Mary Knoll Ministries, does health care, and she's in Kenya at the time. Great need, because the state is now handling all the health care, and there's just a tremendous backlog. So individually and under medical care, that purchase basic medical supplies for the clinic, $50. So certainly we encourage anyone out there who can support this work to continue to do so. Do you have any idea, and I know this may be a rough one off the top of the head, but how many people do you think your program has reached in the years since you've been there?
Well, boy, that would be a wild guess.
Go ahead.
I would say thousands, because, again, we're working with really an entire district, the Kitui District of Eastern Kenya. And so, for example, with the agriculture, when we do a workshop, we talk about train the trainer. So the idea is that you teach people how to do these techniques, and then they use them, and then they teach others. So it's a multiplying kind of an effect. So, you know, and of course, with education, one of the things that happens there, the families are close. And so if one of the children, let's say there are eight children in the family, if one of them gets an education and gets a good job, then they then help their brothers and sisters get an education. So just in a lot of ways, things get multiplied. So I would say probably thousands of people have been impacted.
That's fantastic. And on your website, you have some just wonderful video clips, and many of them feature children. There's one with children singing. And I know now the English is spoken in Kenya, but is it Swahili as well? And so I believe they're singing in Swahili, We Are the World. And those of you that have a chance to take a look at that website, I think you would find that very moving. Have you've been doing this long enough now, have you gone back to see some of the people you've worked with, maybe when they were younger and they're now older, educated, and, you know, and able to help themselves? And if so, could you share maybe one of those stories?
We have a number of people that I met the first trip that were just kids that now have graduated from college. Uh-huh. In some cases are married and have children. I have some video of some of those kids singing, and of course it's the videotape, and what I need to do is convert that to DVD, and mm-hmm. there's a place in Kenya where they could see that, and I'd love for those kids that are now adults, married with their own kids, to be able to look back at some of the pictures that I have from, you know, 15 years ago. Would really be neat for them to be able to see that.
That is absolutely fantastic, and that must, I'm sure, be very gratifying to you and to all of those people working with you.
We have with this education program, a number of these children are AIDS orphans, and so in many cases, without American help, these kids would have been sent home from school or wouldn't have went at all. And several of them, if they do well in secondary school, score well on the national test, then they're often then have a full ride to the university. So we have AIDS orphans, for example, that are studying to be a doctor now, nurses and teachers and things like that. And so without just a few dollars from an American family, they would have never had that chance. We have one young lady, her name is Eunice, that didn't qualify to go to secondary school. So we had a family that said, we'll send her through a tailoring school for 2 years. And so we did that, and then three ladies in Arkansas said, we'll buy her a sewing machine. So now with that 2 years of training and that $135 sewing machine, treadle-type mm-hmm. sewing machine because there's no electricity, yeah. she can support herself for a lifetime. So just a number of those kind of impact stories are there.
That's taking also in American, in spite of what may be some of our cultural faults, I mean, the idea of always a second chance and always reaching out. So in addition to your, you know, your ministry of love, they're bringing hope and right. and dreams to, you know, to many young people that that wouldn't have them. I do want to take a second to remind our listeners that you certainly can call in and participate in our conversation if you have any questions for Carl. And again, locally, it is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Or if you're long distance, you can call us at 1-800-222-9455. That's 1-800-222-9455. And Lynn, you've been very supportive over here, and I appreciate your cheery presence in here. But I think I did have a question here for you, and that is, how did you find out about, you know, caring for Kenya, and what attracted your interest in the program, and how do you support it?
Well, I'm a farmer, and I've always known of Carl, but had never actually met Carl until the president of our Rotary Club mentioned to me that he had met a guy that probably had a project that our Rotary Club could get involved with. And so I met Carl, and we had lunch together. And we talked about the very things you've been talking about, and I became aware of just the enormous potential that is involved in all of this. And so I started working with my Rotary Club and other groups to share the information about what Carl's doing. And it's a real privilege to become aware of what's going on there. The core of Christianity is that every person has value, and that goes worldwide. So Rotary has a program called World Community Service and devotes a great deal of money worldwide to help people everywhere where there's problems. And one of those is Polio Plus. Rotary International has devoted millions of dollars to eliminate malaria. And, of course, that's a huge issue in Africa.
Absolutely. In other words, and truly we are our brother's keeper. And you know, Carl, there are other organizations out there besides Rotary. So if someone sure. is listening, and whether it would be Kiwanis or any of a variety of other groups, or perhaps there may be some other church groups that might be looking for something that they would be interested. They're looking for something to enable them to be able to serve. You know, they can get a hold of you. And again, I think I will. Let me share some of that information again. If you would like to get a hold of Carl, you can do so by calling him at 217-365-0215. And there is a website also that you can contact, and that is www.caringforkenya.org, and the mailing address is 3508 East University Avenue in Urbana, 61802. And again, so not in just in terms of making a direct donation, I'm sure that you will certainly readily accept all of those that come your way, but also perhaps maybe getting involved in a more direct way and bringing their groups out. I go ahead.
One of the things that we hope to do sometime in the future is to actually take a medical team with us to Kenya. The people that we, for the most part, work with are very poor. And so on the last trip to Kenya, we actually visited hospitals and clinics. And our question was, if we bring a medical team, would you consider that a plus or would you consider that competition? And they realized that what we would be doing is helping poor people that for the most part otherwise would not get medical care. And so they would welcome a medical team. One hospital even said, we have an operating room that's fully equipped and we have no surgeon. So mm-hmm. if you could bring a surgeon, we would have some cases for them and we would let you use our operating room. So that's one of the things that we're looking at in the future is the possibility of doing that.
You know, you mentioned, and I think that might be a question that is on, some of our listeners' minds. There are other organizations. I mentioned the Mary Knoll Ministries, and I know that Bubba Watson, the golfer who's become quite a character and won the Masters Championship, very interesting young man for the non-golf interested members of our audience, non-conventional and pretty down to earth, I think would be a phrase fairly describing that. His wife, Angie, and he have just started a medical clinic in Kenya, again, to fulfill that need. And how do you have any – is your work affected in any way by either the U.S. government or the Kenyan government? I know that you're as a church, group that necessarily wouldn't be considered an NGO, non-government organization. But how about that? Is there any? I don't want to put you on a political hot spot here, but is there any assistance? Are there any problems? How is your relationship with other organizations and with the government?
There's no real problem with governments. On the other hand, there's not a lot of help. Mm-hmm. People say, well, why aren't, for example, in this case, why isn't the Kenyan government taking care of some of these things? Why aren't they doing more for education and health care and so on? I don't guess I have a real answer to that, but I just know that there's a need. This 40-foot container of meals, that we're pre-packaged meals that we ship to Kenya, for example, we had to pay a $1,500 inspection fee on the dock. You would think if we brought in meals to feed hungry people that they would welcome that and there wouldn't be an inspection fee. So some of those sort of things you just have to deal with. There's not really a lot of help, but for the most part, there's not really interference or issues with government agencies either.
And how about your working relationship with other organizations that are down or doing the same type of work you're doing? Do you have interaction at all?
The meals, for example, actually came from a group in Iowa. It's called Meals from the Heartland. And so they have an annual meal packaging event in September, and they have 15,000 volunteers. They package 4 million meals in 4 days. And so we applied with them for a container to go to Kenya. And the other organization I work with, Healing Hands International, agreed to pay for the shipping and the expenses to get the meals to Kenya. So that's an example of, really three organizations working together. We also work with a man near St. Louis called the Shoe Man. And what he does is he collects used shoes and he sells them to an exporter. And then the money from the used shoes goes to buy drilling rigs and drill wells in Kenya. And so we say, people who need shoes get shoes, and people who need water get water. And people get their closet cleaned out, so everybody wins.
So everyone wins. Well, that's fantastic. Did you again? I'm sorry. Did you know the name of that man or that organization?
I didn't. He calls himself the Shoe Man.
The Shoe Man. Okay.
And his name is George Hutchins, and I think the website is just www.shoeman.org.
Okay, www.shoeman.org.
And so he collects shoes. Last year, he collected 1 million pairs of shoes. And so these are from churches, from businesses, from Boy Scouts, school groups, whoever. So it's something that the young and the old could be involved in. And at Vital Road Church of Christ, we are a drop point. So if people collect shoes, they can bring them to us, and then he comes to pick them up as a trailer and a van that he picks them up whenever we call and say, we've got another load of shoes for you.
So, again, if any local organizations, and again, it certainly could be church youth groups, but it could also be, secular community organizations as well, have an interest in participating with something, especially with their young, that is something that they could look into and perhaps, assist with you. Obviously, your life's been majorly affected by this. Did your ministry and your evangelism begin with this chance meeting, or how long back in your life have you had this calling?
I guess I've always been interested in helping helping people and working with people. I spent 32 years as a high school ag teacher. My first trip to Kenya, my son John was going to be going with me, and he was killed in a car wreck about 6 months before we were to leave. So to some extent, what my wife Ruthann and I do, we do in memory of him. But he was very interested in community service and helping people. So, you know, I just feel like it's something that I can do where I can use the talents that God has given me, my agricultural background, my education background. I'm a planner and an organizer, and obviously those skills come to play in something like this as well. I say that my work in Kenya has taught me the power of prayer, perseverance, and patience. So anytime you work with another culture, you know, there are different ways to do things, and they have a phrase, there's no hurry in Africa. And so sometimes...
I've heard that phrase.
My patience gets tested, you know, they don't have the things to work with that we do. So if there's a big task to be done, they don't go get the backhoe or the end loader or, you know, the kinds of things that we have access to. They have to figure out a way to get the job done.
Well, that's wonderful. And what was your son's name?
John.
John. Okay, John Burkiba. And did you, you say you taught 32 years? I didn't realize that. Steve didn't share that with me. I'm a retired teacher myself. And did you teach here locally in the Champaign-Urbana area? Or?
I taught 4 years at Armstrong, and I taught 26 years at Rantoul and 2 years at Paxton.
Okay. So in the community, well, again, we hope that, you know, you can continue to use all of those skills that you can go up to. There have been so many rewarding moments, and you've shared some with you. Could you... And you mentioned some of the other people who went. Can you share some of the perhaps the rewarding moments that you've seen others besides yourself? What that, you know, again, doing God's work, giving of oneself for others in the human family. Some what you've seen other people experience in terms of rewards for this work.
Well, I always tell people that go on this trip, go to Kenya, that. It will change their life. And when they come back, they say, well, you were right. And I think part of what happens is that as Americans, we don't really realize how blessed we are. And when you go and you see people that have no electricity, no running water, very little in the way of material blessings, and they're the happiest people you've ever seen in your life, it causes you to kind of reevaluate and think about what is it that brings happiness. And, you know, sometimes we know the answers, but they don't sink in or we kind of forget about them. And so in America, we're so focused on having more things sometimes. And again, I say that if happiness was based on having things, there's no way that the people I work with in Kenya could be happy. But they have a smile on their face, and I say their happiness comes from their relationship with God and their relationship with others. And so you that kind of gets reinforced when you make a trip like this, and you see them and you see how they respond, and it causes you to come back and with a greater faith and more focused on wanting to please God and serve others.
Well, I've heard that echoed, and I wish my memory was a little sharper than it's remaining as I get a little older here. But one of my former colleagues, Fred Newport, and he's at Twin City Bible, attends Twin City Bible Church here in Urbana. And he just came back. He's gone to several missionary trips to Africa, not to Kenya. And he literally said, almost verbatim, he's working a great deal with English as a second language and working with trying to help them set up some schools and more. And it seems that right now we're greatly worried in our country, certainly, and in our state, you know, the cuts in the state to Medicare and not being able to help the poor, and we take a look at a standard of living that doesn't seem to necessarily be in many people's eyes, maintainable. And I think that your comments really put things in a greater perspective. Lynn, you've been here a long time, and that's that nod that I told you if I saw come out of you that I might throw something back on you. Anything that Carl has said here or anything that you've talked a bit about what Rotary has done, and it seems like it, the Rotary plans to continue its support here and to make this part of the program. You've talked about some of the other programs here. But in general, as a community leader, and I guess if people don't know, you are, and correct me if I get the titles wrong, because I know you do quite a few things as a community leader. You are on the Parkland College Board and have been for quite some time, I believe, correct?
21 years.
21 years, right. Mm-hmm. And then you have at the Farm Bureau or at the right. You're involved there. In fact, why don't I, instead of me guessing here and doing my trust in the memory that I just said isn't quite what it used to be, why don't you share with people who might not be familiar some of the things you do in the community?
I've been active in Farm Bureau for my whole farming career. Served on the board, and I'm currently the president of Champaign County Farm Bureau. And Carl just recently spoke to the Primetimers. That's a group of about 80 to 100 folks who are older than 60. And as a result of that, they spontaneously gave quite a bit of money to support Carl's efforts. There are so many groups in Champaign County that are civic-minded, and Boy Scouts, yeah. Girl Scouts, all kinds of groups at churches that are usually looking for ways to help, to reach out and help someone. So you can catch that what Carl's doing touches on many, many different issues, but beginning with those seriously basic things of good water and good food year-round. So there's motivation, I think, for most people around here to do something as far as civics is concerned. And there's lots of opportunities. I've been very pleased to be able to take part in some of those. But there's plenty of other opportunities. And to see a person who goes into retirement and then has another career like Carl has of helping other people is just really wonderful. When I was a young Christian, about 40 years ago now, one of the things that came to us was to invest yourself in people and things eternal. And that's exactly what Carl's doing. That's what his group is doing. And I think there's great satisfaction that comes from that kind of activity. So I'd encourage people to step up and step out and participate in something like Carl's doing now.
It certainly makes life meaningful, and I would like to encourage any of our listeners who may belong to some other groups to share this information from the show. Again, I'm a member of St. Patrick's Parish, and we have a fairly active social peace and justice committee, and I was not familiar. I'm familiar with some other work, but with your organization at all, and just when I look at the literature and when I look at the website. And you mentioned joy and happiness, and something I hear both coming in Lynn's comments and in your comments is the power of community. And when you see the children in the pictures, and in spite of that, material deprivation, it's again the statistics on the amount of people dying just from bad water and the things that are happening, and to us unimaginable. In our country with the wealth that we have, and even in our declining condition, if you will, that there's a sense of community. People are constantly seen in groups. And Lynn, I mentioned to you before we went on the air that my wife's family are farmers. And I, was always impressed whenever someone was sick or there was an illness in the family, how the other farmers would come together mm-hmm. and help each other out, and you see that great sense of community that we are here for each other, and it's a practicing of Christianity, but it's also just a purposeful and a meaningful one. Again, not the purpose of this show, but in our country today, often so many distractions and so much noise and such a sense of isolation, if you will, an alienation and winners and losers and class warfare, and to see us working together You know, and some of the things that can be done are just absolutely, you know, tremendously inspiring in both your. But I want to see, we haven't heard from any of our callers yet, so I'm hoping that we might have someone who has a question for Carl or for Lynn. Let me give the numbers again, and Carl, and then I'll get right back to you. Again, you can join in if you give us a call at 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. And long distance, you can call us at 800-222-9455. So we would certainly love to hear from you. And Carl, go ahead. You seem to have something.
Well, I was just going to say that a number of our high schools now have developed a program where, in order to graduate from high school, that the students have to be involved in some form of a community service activity. And I think that when young people get involved in caring about others and serving others at a young age, that's something that stays with them for a lifetime. I had a young girl, I think 6 years old, several weeks ago, that came up to me, and she and her mother, and she said she wanted to give me something. And what she did was she gave me $10 to buy 10 baby chicks and a bag of chicken feed for some young people in Kenya. And she had saved her allowance, $1 a week for 10 weeks, to do that. And so I'm looking forward to taking a picture of the young person in Kenya who got those 10 baby chicks. And so, again, getting young people interested in helping others, I think, is a great thing to do. When we look at health issues, and we know that especially with children, the two big killers are contaminated water and malnutrition. And so really that's, I guess, a lot of my focus in terms of the things that I'm working on are water and providing more food. And back in January, I became a staff member with Healing Hands International, as well as working with Caring for Kenya. The two organizations have worked very close together for the last several years. And with Healing Hands International, they, instead of being involved in just the one country, they've been involved in faith-based humanitarian work really all over the world, over 73 countries. And so my job with them is really focused on helping people raise more food. Last month I was in Mexico. This month I'll be in Kenya. In August I'll be in Zambia and Swaziland and South Africa.
Oh,
and later in the fall I'll be in New Mexico and Arizona, working with some Navajo Indians, all focus on how can we raise more food. And so that's an exciting new thing to my my workload as well.
You know, it really is exciting, and I don't have the information in front of me here on the Helping Hands International, but I know they do have a website too. Do you have that by chance? Can you share that with our audience?
It's www.hhi.org.
Okay, www.hi. Okay, here we have it. It is www.hhi.org, and that's Healing Hands International. And as Carl's comments indicate, that operated on a very broad scale, including here in the United States, that we can see some things. Could you take we have a few minutes. Let's go ahead and tell us, can you tell us a little more? How did you get involved with it seemed that you seemed as though you had quite a bit going on with Caring for Kenya, and now you're expanding out here. How did this kind of come about?
Well, we've started doing agricultural workshops together. Teaching people how to do composting, raised planting beds with a compost trench in the middle, using drip irrigation and mulching. When I first started looking at the need for teaching people how to raise more food, and I was looking for someone in Kenya who could do that. And I talked with the international dean of the College of Agriculture after not finding the person I was looking for. And his comment to me was, well, the person that probably is best to do that is yourself, because you've been there, you've taught high school agriculture, you've taught basic things, you know what the people need. And so we partnered with Healing Hands International to do workshops. They have been involved in this kind of thing for a number of years, so using their expertise. And so then in January, when their director of agricultural retired, they asked me to take on that responsibility. And when you know that there are people around the world that are starving, and if there's something I can do to help, prevent some of that, then that's what I want to do. So part of what I'm doing is, I call it building a hunger-fighting team, is finding volunteers who are interested in going and teaching these kind of workshops, and of course, people who are willing to fund the workshops as well. So I get emails from all over the world, literally, on a weekly basis of people who are requesting these workshops.
Well, your compassion for others and the depth of your faith is readily evident, but the passion that you have for your work is just palpable as you speak about it. And what a model, role model for retirees everywhere. And I know that one of the, since I retired a year ago, I was able to spend some time here at the Osher Lifelong Earning Institute, where Steve has also taught some classes, and I think is going to be doing one this fall as well. And tremendous amount of people with a tremendous amount of energy, and there certainly are opportunities here, and I think, again, you're showing us the way to go. And I do want to share that information again. If any of you would like to get a hold of Carl, either to make a donation to Caring for Kenya or to perhaps participate in a more direct way, you can do so by contacting him by phone at 217-365-0215. That's 217-365-0215. And you can also reach him via the old snail mail, if you so desire, at 3508 East University Avenue. That's 3508 East University Avenue in Urbana, Illinois, 61802, 61802. And again, the website is www.caringforkenya.org, and that's CaringForKenya, Caring for Kenya. .org. So you have a lot of work left to do, and go ahead. You've got something now that's on there.
I would just add, you mentioned about retirees. One of the things that we're seeing in the United States is that people live longer and sometimes outlive their financial resources, providing medicine and food and so forth becomes an issue. And so what's happening is that those seniors who are healthy, we're seeing church gardens and community gardens becoming a big thing. And so that's one of the things that we're helping people in this country to do, is helping them get started with a church garden or a community garden. There's one in particular that I'm aware of that the food that they raise goes then to the local food bank. So, again, people who are retired or healthy or looking for something productive to do can raise, food in a garden and provide for the poor people in the community through their church or through the food bank.
And there are. I know the Eastern Illinois Food Bank does a tremendous job, and also many, many churches have food banks going out there as well. Lynn, you have a comment there?
Well, demographers now say that middle age is 45 to 75. Right. That means that there are a lot of people who still have energy, still have the will to do things, and they're looking for things to do. So for those in that middle-aged group, there's certainly opportunity to step forward and do things.
I'm glad you put it that way, because that means I'm just right in the middle of middle age there. And we do have a caller on line one from Champaign.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. You're on Keeping the Faith.
Ask Carl if he's from Casey, Illinois.
Yes, I am.
Carl, this is Eleanor Logue Evans, who lived across the street from you out in the country.
Hey, how about that?
You are doing a wonderful job. More power to you. That's what I wanted to tell you, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you
welcome.
So much for calling
Bye.
In. And it's boy, the enthusiasm in her voice and hearing from you was excellent as well. Can you again? I want to go back to. And I know we're kind of jumping around here a little bit, but I think we've given people a pretty good idea of what Caring for Kenya is doing, the tremendous amount of work, and also I think both Lynn and you are, you know, inspirational to retirees. You know, to say there's a lot of things we can get out there and do and get involved in so many different ways, and also the fact that the youth is this is work that young people can participate in and do meaningful things. And as when I taught, and I've been involved with youth work at our church as well, young people want to do things. They want to be involved, and there's great need here. So, you know, looking at the website and then, again, a variety of other organizations certainly have the opportunity to kind of work with you. And the cooperation that became that is you're sharing with other organizations was very apparent in your comments. So I think that people can see that this is a opportunity as well. But back to the Helping Hands International. Can you give us a little history of that? I know that we've been on a pretty positive note here, and it's kind of hard not to be positive with you two in the studio here because the energy is just great. But some people are a little cynical, and they want, you know, they about so many organizations. Tell us a little more about Helping Hand International.
Well, Healing Hands.
Healing Hands. I'm sorry, Healing Hands International.
I actually started with a professor at Lipscomb University in Nashville. He and his marketing class, and he gave a charge or a challenge to his class to collect medical supplies. That was back at a time in 1991 when Soviet Union was breaking up, and there was a great need for medical supplies. So they were going to collect some medical supplies, and he thought it would be just a few suitcases maybe of medical supplies that could be shipped to the former Soviet Union, and it turned out to be 2 40-foot containers. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the beginning of Healing Hands International. And so it was the medical supplies and medical relief was the beginning. And then they added water projects and agriculture, and they've always been involved. Of course, that to some degree was a relief effort. So they disaster relief. They've been very involved with Haiti and with Japan. So when there's a national disaster, whether it be in this country or somewhere else around the world, they're very involved with that. They've shipped several hundred containers all over the world. The man on staff, Joe Smith, is an expert at knowing what needs to be done, what mm-hmm. certificates need to be filled out and signed and so forth to get containers in. Sometimes you hear about relief supplies going to a country and they sit on the dock because all the paperwork is not done. And so they've done a lot of this work, and they know how to get the job done. They've just recently started a program called Women Are Worth a Million, really focusing on helping poor women. There's a saying, and I'm probably not going to quote it just right, but if you help a man, you've helped an individual, but if you help a woman, you've helped a community. And the idea is that if you impact a woman, you have impacted her family, and through her family, you've impacted the community. So we have, again, provided money for women to finish their education, bought sewing machines to start sewing co-ops. We've got a soap-making co-op where the women raise aloe vera plants, and they use aloe vera and coconut oil and some other ingredients to make soap and sell at the market at market day. Most of these communities have a market day 2 days a week, and so they have the little stand and sell whatever it is they have produced or made. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are some of the things that Healing Hands is involved with. They also have what they call a Magi project, where they put together basically it's like a Christmas gift for children. At this point, it's Honduras, Mexico, and Nicaragua. And so it's just like a shoebox full of things for young kids. And I think last year there was something like 14,000 of those that went to young kids in those three countries.
That's fantastic. Now, and did I hear you right? Did you say that was one man that initially started?
Right. Right.
Well, as what you've shared with us today, and I think certainly our awareness of what happens in many other efforts by people, cooperation and numbers and community is needed. However, these stories seem to echo. This is one person, and now to take a look at what Healing Hands International is doing, and you're one person, and to take a look and the and say his name again for me, the young man who came here.
Erastus Cavuti.
Erastus Cavuti, who would to come here and what he's done, and now that there are 10 congregations mm-hmm. and his work and the schools and the water and the lives that have been changed. One person, again, who believes and has enough passion can make a difference. And
right.
I think when we, again, there's so much negativity in our world, and everyone, regardless of whatever their political affiliation, is very frustrated by the inability for cooperation and dialogue and for us to work together to solve our problems. You're a living example that's doable. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's really easy to become overwhelmed. My first trip to Kenya, I was just overwhelmed, and of course, again, the fact that my son had died 6 months earlier, between those two events, that first trip to Kenya and his death, caused a tremendous amount of reflection in terms of, you know, what really is important and what should I be doing with my life. You know, you have to decide really what is important, and ultimately what we want to do is be in heaven and take people with us. We want that to be our goal. And so with that in mind, you kind of look at how do other things fit in to help do that. It's when I say you can become overwhelmed, eventually I think it comes back to, we've mentioned the word relationship. I think it comes back to what you have to do is help one person at a time, one village at a time. We can't solve all the world's problems, but as there are a lot of things that one person can do. And so we can't just throw up our hands and say, there's nothing I can do, because we can do something.
No,
we can make a difference.
And you obviously have made a great difference. And you mentioned, in fact, earlier that you had an atheist who contributed, and it's the helping, and there's a cooperation. So everyone is welcome here. And when you see the faces of the children involved, well, we're getting close to our time, and I want to thank both of you so much. You have inspired me. I always enjoy coming in for Steve or for Don, and enjoy the show, because it is a show that has a tendency to make our listeners reflect a little bit and examine our own lives. And I think that you certainly have done that. Also want to let everybody know that Steve will be back next week from his world travels, and I'm sure he'll have some enlightenment. I don't have the shows coming up, but I do want to, before we finish, go ahead and give the information, the contact information again. And our guest has been, we've also had Lynn Warfel. I don't want to neglect him with us, but our guest, primary guest here, has been Carl with a C, Burkey Bile, and that is Burkybile. And you can reach him at www.caringforkenya.org. This has been Stan Yanchis. Thank you.
You've been listening to Keeping the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Hi, I'm Jim Fleming, host of To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI. Looking for something to talk about at your next party or around the water cooler on Monday morning? Check in on To the Best of Our Knowledge each week. Science and religion, rethinking animal intelligence, maybe how memory works. Fascinating discussion on To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday evening from 7 to 9 on AM 580.
Thanks to your support this year, the news and information you value is here every day.
With Illinois Public Media News, I'm Jeff Bossert.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
For Illinois Public Media News, I'm Sean Powers.
Support your source for balanced news and information, and follow our progress on WILL.illinois.edu.
This is Illinois Public Media.